Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? It's Thursday, October 10th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And today's going to be a little different than normal because I actually have something that I need to do after my radio show tomorrow that will take me the rest of the day. That's right, I'm playing golf. Whatever. Shut up. I have my a golf outing that's for my nephew's Little League. I do this every year in October. So I figured instead of waiting until Saturday to do the Friday pod, I'm just going to jam everything together. If you're an FTN subscriber, you can go check out all the shadow coverage stuff in the shadow coverage matrix. There wasn't a lot last week, and I don't expect a lot of shadow coverage this week. Though I will say really quickly that I said, all right, well, CeeDee Lamb's going to see Joey Porter probably 45% of his routes. I was off. It was 49% of his routes. But Porter basically shut CeeDee Lamb down in those routes. And those were the routes where Jalen Tolbert went off. It was more a product of the game than fully sustainable. I think a lot of people went out. It feels like Jalen Tolbert this week is kind of like Dontavian Wicks last week, where they're chasing those numbers. And I don't know if it was really worth it. So just tossing that out there, like, yeah, if you added him, you added him, cool. But if you spend a lot in fab, probably not the best move this week. Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll go through each of the games. I will give you a quick word on tonight. If you're listening to this on Friday, all good. You could also come back to it if you want. But here's the general thought here. Of course, tonight we have, well, it isn't my favorite division. I almost said my favorite. My favorite division right now is the NFC South for divisional games. Last Thursday showed partially why. But we get the NFC West, which can also be pretty wild, as we saw last week with San Francisco and the Arizona Cardinals. But this week, well, we get San Francisco yet again, and they face Seattle in this one. The 49ers are favored as road favorites here, and it's a 49.5 over-under. I mean, I love the high over-under in this contest. So what are we liking here? Well, I mean, first and foremost, Brock Purdy, another year where he's just been utterly dominant in yards per attempt. He's obviously going to be in the quarterback one conversation. Brandon Ayuk trending up. Deebo Samuel hasn't been quite the same player since the calf injury, but ultimately this is kind of how Deebo rolls. And then all of a sudden he'll have a boom game. So I'm not overthinking it, but I'm going to keep an eye on Juwan Jennings. I think the matchup is great across the board here for the San Francisco guys. I don't think Jennings is toast, especially because Jordan Mason doesn't do much out of the backfield as a pass catcher. Obviously, you're using George Kittle. Over to the other side, I think we get a little bit of a bounce back from DK Metcalf. I keep saying that Deontay Banks played extremely well last week, better than I thought he was going to play. Not quite the same matchup. You know, Metcalf should be fine here. I would much rather use Jackson Smith and Jigba than Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett's best fantasy finish over the last 4 weeks is wide receiver 43. So that shows you where you are. And then rolling with Kenneth Walker. Despite the down rushing performance last week, he actually had a decent passing game performance, which salvaged a decent week. That's what I love to see out of guys. Three down capability is so rare in today's NFL that they're going to be used that way. And it's so important for us because if they have a bad week on the ground, we don't get that Derek Dilemma type game. We at least can get to double digits. And you get to double digits, you have a puncher's chance. It may not be what you want out of the guy, but it's much better than just having like three carries for 19 yards or something like that. Or not three, five carries for 19 yards. It's so much better than that. So that's where we are in that game. Let's move to Jacksonville and Chicago. The Bears are 1.5 point favorites, 44.5 over under. By the way, the spread on the previous game is 3.5. So Trevor Lawrence, coming off of a career high, 371 yards. He had an 85-yard touchdown pass in that game. He is trending up, but I'm not going to get too crazy with him here because the Chicago defense is quite good against the pass. So Lawrence is still just a super flex option this week. I do have him inside the top 20. He did show signs last week, and that's super encouraging. Moving over to Brian Thomas Jr. is trending up. Evan Ingram could be back, but I'm not going to use him if I can get away with it. So I think the big thing here is Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne. Etienne is still the lead back. The team has made that clear. Bigsby is better in early down situations. But for now, Travis Etienne remains a back end RB2. Tank Bigsby is Well, more of a flex option. I just be careful with your optimism. Yes, two touchdowns looks great. 101 rushing yards looks great. Didn't have heavy volume there, and it's not sustainable. He's not going to do Devon Achane-like numbers every single week. So just be careful. Bigsby is definitely worth a roster spot. If you picked him up this week, all good, but also still just a flex. Caleb Williams, well, he was flexing last week. He had just a really excellent game. He's been trending up over the last 3 weeks. He isn't quite, well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to call him a back-end quarterback one. I've been back and forth between him and Justin Fields. I think I'd actually rather use Caleb Williams this week. It is a very nice matchup against Jacksonville. He's clicking with DJ Moore. You even have like DeAndre Swift rolling here. DeAndre Swift, back-to-back great weeks. RB3, RB2 in each of the last 2 weeks here. He's not, I'm not going to rank him up there, but he is more of a front-end RB2. As far as Keenan Allen, getting a lot of questions about this guy. People are like, should I pick him up? Well, remember, you're picking up the 2024 version of Keenan Allen, not the Keenan Allen from 5 years ago. This Keenan Allen is obviously showing his age. This Keenan Allen has not been able to stay healthy. This Keenan Allen is not getting, really, he's not getting yards. I mean, he has 10 catches for 81 yards in 3 games this season. He's not doing much of anything, so just be careful. He's not a player I'd be adding. It's not quite late career Allen Robinson, but we're getting close. Keenan Allen Robinson right here. We're not quite there, but man, I don't want to be adding him. If Adunze's out there, I'd be much more inclined to add him. Even though I can't start Adunze right now, I'd be much more inclined. So just be careful with that. All right, Arizona and Green Bay, exciting game in this one. Explosive offensive potential, really from both sides. And by the way, that Jacksonville-Chicago game is in England. So remember, that's a Tottenham Hotspur. It's 9:30 a.m. Eastern start for that one. Arizona is 4.5-point road dogs. It is a 47.5 over-under. Kyler Murray, back-to-back games with under 200 passing yards for the first time since 2022. It was right before he suffered the torn ACL. But I'm not overly concerned because his rushing ability has been on full display. He had the 50-yard touchdown last week. He's really been very effective outside of 1 week on the ground with his legs. So I still like him as a QB1. Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably more... It's better that you view him as a boom-bust wide receiver too right now. The boom can be very good, though. Absolutely could be very good with him. Otherwise, I mean, you're using Trey McBride. You're using James Conner as an RB2. I'd be careful with Michael Wilson, not getting too crazy with him, but he is a flex option potentially in this matchup. And it is a nice matchup for those wideouts, as long as Jair Alexander doesn't play. Under the other side, Jordan Love, 7 straight games with 2+ passing touchdowns. That's pretty good. 200+ in 14 straight games. Only one player has a longer active streak. It's Brock Purdy. Nice. We're obviously using him as a QB1, and we're using Jaden Reed as a wide receiver one until further notice. I mean, the ceiling is just so enormous, and Love has eyes for him. Now, I think we all figured out Dontavian Wicks is not as consistent as we may have thought he was. I still think we can fire him up this week as a wide receiver 3. He still is ahead of Romeo Doubs, who should be back with the team this week. Well, you know, he is back with the team, but should be on the field this week. But that's about all for Dontavian Wicks. Otherwise, rolling with Tucker Kraft until he proves otherwise, and Josh Jacobs in RB1. Indianapolis and Tennessee. All right, so the Titans are 2.5-point favorites, which is pretty interesting to me. We don't know who's going to be starting for the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson was in practice yesterday. I don't have a Thursday report as of right now, but he could go limited all week and still not play. That's what happened last week. So we'll be careful here, and we're going to play this by ear. Remember, we really won't know much until Friday. We can't really make any decisions until Friday, so the best idea is to be as prepared as possible. If you have Richardson, he could still potentially start. Do you want to use him? Weeks 2, 3, 4, he had 1 passing score and 5 interceptions. I mean, I don't blame you. Now, of course, his ceiling is very high. Of course, though, there is another issue here because Michael Pittman is going to miss time, has not officially been put on short-term injured reserve, though that is still a possibility. With him sidelined, here's what I think is going to happen. And obviously, Flacco is more of a super flex option if he starts. But the bulk of the work goes to Josh Downs. It already has been. He had 9 catches last week, 8 the week before. So he's the primary beneficiary. Not over the top here, though. on, well, any of these guys. Tennessee's a good defense. Let's be clear about that. But if I had to use Josh Allen, I'm using him as a back end wide receiver too. From there, your instinct, I know where you're going. And it's not really necessarily where I'm going. And there's one main reason why. So your instinct says to go to Alec Pierce. I actually think Adonai Mitchell is the more interesting option. And here's why. So in five games played this season, Alec Pierce, who is a full-time player, has only seen more than three targets once. Yes, he has the downfield ability. Yes, he has the 40-plus yard receptions. He's got five of them already this season. He had 134 yards last week. But that is like Gabe Davis on steroids. Meanwhile, Adonai Mitchell is not a full-time player, and he's top three targets three times. So two more times than Alec Pierce. I have them very close in rankings. I don't want to use either of them this week, but I'd keep a very close eye on Adonai Mitchell. As far as Jonathan Taylor, it's going to be an uphill battle for him to play. He said he's feeling better, but this is going to be tight. Trey Sermon even missed practice yesterday, so it's a little ugly there. We'll see if Will Levis can get back this week. It seems like he will. I'm avoiding the pass catchers for now if I can get away with it. DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, but I don't mind them being on benches. If I can get away with not using them as flex options, I would. Tony Pollard is the one who's most interesting to me. This is a great matchup for Pollard. He is coming off of a very nice performance. He's actually looked really good this season. I think he's an RB1, and I think Tajay Spears is a flex option. Houston and New England, even without Nico Collins, Houston obviously is going to be heavily favored here. 6.5-point favorites, 37.5 over-under, so not necessarily a high-scoring game. C.J. Stroud does come back to the pack a little bit without Collins, but he's still a QB1. Stephon Diggs, 7th in the league in receptions with 31, or 7th among wide receivers with 31. He's going to be the primary beneficiary with Tank Dell trending up. Diggs is a wide receiver 1. As far as Dell is concerned, I mean, obviously we still have to temper expectations a little bit, but I think it's fair to view him as a back-end wide receiver too. Some people are getting out over their skis on Xavier Hutchinson. I'm not considering starting him, that's for sure. Like, I have Hutchinson fairly far down. He's at wide receiver 69. Nice there. But I wouldn't consider starting him this week, but I want to keep an eye on how they use him. He has the profile that is closest to Nico Collins. He's not Nico Collins, obviously. That's why Nico Collins was starting and why he's one of the best receivers in the NFL so far this season. But there might be something there. We just saw Darius Slayton, for example, surprise for the New York Giants with no Malik Nabers. So keep an eye on him. In deeper leagues, he's worth an add. Joe Mixon practiced today. I at least have that. He looks like got a limited session in. There is the distinct possibility he could make his first appearance since week one. It's been a while. They were very effective in week one. They have not been effective since then. Over to the other side, Drake May is going to make his first career start. We'll see what happens. I'm not getting cute here with Jalen Polk, with Kendrick Bourne, with Pop Douglas. None of them are worth starting. Really, the only thing I'm looking at as far as starting potential would be Ramondre Stevenson, though he is a little dinged up. So we'll have to keep an eye on his status. If he doesn't go, then Antonio Gibson will be basically a front-end flex option. Very risky, though. I just don't know with this game script. I guess, if anything, the nice thing about Antonio Gibson is he is a good pass catcher, so he could give you a little bit of pop there. But I'd be cautious with this one, using only the running back, adding Drake May in Superflex, and we'll see what happens from here. Love the skill set for Drake May. It's just the surrounding cast is bad. Tampa and New Orleans up next. Man, this is another one. Going to be a fun one. I love the NFC South now. It was like the armpit for a little while here of the league, but not anymore. Tampa, 3.5-point favorites, and the big reason for that, of course, is Derek Carr won't be playing. Tampa, we're starting the usual suspects of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Baker Mayfield's a fringe quarterback 1. I could see rolling with him because he's been so good this season, but it is not a great matchup against a tough New Orleans defense. Rashad White, Bucky Irving. Sometimes I'll see perceptions in fantasy football sort of get stuck in time. A lot of times that's fantasy draft and then people just can't adjust as you get into the season. But sometimes like a player will get off to a hot start or a poor start and then they'll reverse course, but people will still seem to think that player is not playing well. And that is the case for Rashad White. He has played pretty darn good over the last 2 weeks. 121 rushing yards on 20 carries. Now, that's not amazing, but 93 on 19 for Bucky Irving. He's been more effective than Bucky Irving. He is still the better option on this roster. Rashad White is not playing poorly. He did maybe in the beginning of the season, but he is not currently. So that perception that Bucky Irving is outplaying him is no longer true. And things happen very quickly in the NFL. If you're not capable of shifting your perceptions quickly, you could often be left behind. I actually just bought Rashad White on the cheap. I actually got Breece Hall in the deal as well. Ultimate buy lows there. And we'll see what ends up happening, but he's still my preferred. He's just a flex option, but he is my preferred. On the other side, so no Derek Carr. We'll get Spencer Rattler here. Rattler could be okay. I'm not using him in super flex or anything, but he already said, like, my priority is getting the ball to, you know, he said Chris Olave, but I'm sure he'll get the ball to Rashid Shaheed as well. Olave is still the preferred. They're both wide receiver three plays here with Rattler under center. And Kamara, I mean, you can set your watch on him. I think they actually lean on him even more with Carr sideline. Cleveland and Philly. Philly is 9.5-point favorites at home. Wow, what the heck happened, Cleveland? Deshaun Watson, that's probably what happened, has not been good this season. Five straight games with 25-plus attempts and under 200 passing yards. That is tied for the longest streak to start a season in the past 75 years with a former Philadelphia Eagle, Donovan McNabb, who did so in 2003. It has been ugly. That has hurt the cause for Amari Cooper, who is at best a wide receiver three boomer bust. It has made Jerry Jeudy not very usable right now. So what do? I mean, you use Amari Cooper, as I just said. Now, as far as Nick Chubb is concerned, he's still limited. I don't think he plays this week. If he does, that's a pleasant surprise, but I would plan for one more week of Jerome Ford. I would plan for one more week of your ability to potentially trade Jerome Ford away. I actually think that window probably already closed, but you might still be able to get something for him, and I don't hate that idea. Wait and see with Nick Chubb. Over to the other side, we're at full strength. We have A.J. Brown back. We have Devontae Smith back. Keep in mind, if you use Dallas Goedert for the 2 weeks before their bye, weeks 3 and 4, you probably feel really good about yourself. The problem is he did that. Well, first and foremost, A.J. Brown was out, and then Smith was concussed in that first game. So Dallas Goedert was basically the only show in town. And then neither of them played in the second game, so he was the only show in town. The Eagles do not have wide receiver depth beyond A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You're rolling out guys who are afterthoughts. And yes, that includes Jahan Dotson. And if you don't believe me by now, look at the usage this season. He has been on the field. You wouldn't know it. He's essentially doing his best Van Jefferson impersonation. He is the same thing. They're on the field. You wouldn't know it, but they're always there. But you wouldn't know it because they never get targets. So yeah, Dallas Goedert's going to come back to the pack a little bit. Saquon is great. Jalen Hurts is volatile, but because of his legs and now getting these two guys back, he still is obviously very much a quarterback one. Washington and Baltimore. Oh man, give me this game. Look at this. Baltimore's 6.5-point favorites. That feels like a Washington line, but then again, you never know with the Ravens, especially at home. This team can throttle the opposition when they're at home. It's a 51.5 over under. Give me this game. I love this. Jaden Daniels steamrolling his way through his rookie season. He's been a revelation. He has done basically everything he was doing last year in his Heisman Trophy winning season, except now he's doing it against professionals. Terry McLaurin back up into wide receiver two territory. That feels very good right there. We'll keep an eye on Brian Robinson. He didn't practice yesterday. I do not have a practice report today. That was probably by design. Brian Robinson has 5 rushing touchdowns on the season. He played through it last week, though they did pull him out after it became apparent that it was more of a blowout. We'll keep an eye on this one. If he doesn't go, hey, man, you could get a good bit of Austin Eckler and certainly Jeremy McNichols as well. Lamar, awesome. Derrick Henry, awesome. Zay Flowers, if they throw the ball more, which I think this will be more competitive, Zay Flowers can be a wide receiver too. Currently have him ranked at 15, so really like where we're going there. Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews. I can't do it, man. I can't do either. I know Likely scored 2 touchdowns last week. I don't want to chase those numbers. I think there are better streamers out there. Like if Dalton Schultz is out there, better streamer. If Tyler Conklin is out there, better streamer. Cole Kmet. Freiermuth probably isn't out there, but he's a better streamer. Heck, I think Zach Ertz is a better streamer than either of them this week. Maybe even Kate Otten, to be honest with you. It's ugly. Chargers, Denver, Broncos. Okay. I mean, neither team is that appealing right now, but there still can be fantasy value in even the worst of games. Chargers are 3-point road favorites, 35.5 over under. Justin Herbert looks like he's going to try and play through that high ankle. He is practicing in limited fashion. Ladd McConkey is the top target, but a lot of people are like, oh, well, he'll see Surtain. No, I don't think so. I think Surtain's going to be on Quentin Johnston. Typically, these perimeter shadows do not shadow slot corners, so they don't view the opposition the way that you would as a fantasy player. Like, you view them likely as wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, or number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver, and so on. That's not how NFL teams view it. They view these guys positionally, so you're talking about an X, you're talking about a Z, you know, you're talking about those positions, and typically when you have these perimeter shadow or man-to-man type corners like Pat Surtain, he's probably on the X in most instances, which likely is Quentin Johnston here. So I think McConkey will be fine. Gus Edwards is banged up, so J.K. Dobbins could see even more work. I just want to see him see a goal line carry. I think it's fair to view him as an RB2 based on the volume that he should see, but man, he has no goal line carry so far this season. Bo Nix, not bad last week. He is the first Denver quarterback with 3+ passing touchdowns and 3+ rushing touchdowns through 5 games since 1991, when some guy named John Elway did it for the Denver Broncos. Cortland Sutton, he goes as Bo Nix goes. He is the only target really for Bo Nix at this point. And there's still upside with Sutton, but I understand the volatility there. As far as the backfield, Audric Estime designated to return, and he's practicing in full. So guess what? He's going to be activated almost certainly this week. It'll be interesting to see how that impacts the backfield. As of now, Javonte Williams is still the top option, and he is a back-end RB2 play. But this is a, you know, stay tuned and certainly not a set and forget situation. I have no interest in Jaleel McLaughlin, by the way. Pittsburgh and Vegas. Okay, so the Steelers here are in a very interesting spot. Heading into this game, they are 3-point road favorites, 36.5 over under, but they are coming into a situation where their quarterback, Justin Fields, has not played good football in the last 2 weeks. I don't care what his fantasy numbers were 2 weeks ago, watch the play. We're also in a situation where veteran quarterback Russell Wilson is practicing in full. This job is not Justin Fields. He is not the starter and Russ is the backup. He could lose this job with another poor performance. Be very aware of that. Be very careful here. I tried to tell, you know, listeners of the podcast, listeners of the radio show, readers of my articles, tried to say this, like, listen, this is not Justin Fields' job. And a lot of people did the Jim Carrey, put the fingers in the air, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. The reality is it's not Justin Fields' job. So what do you do? I mean, maybe you could try and trade him away. Maybe you could just view him as a streamer for this week. Like, he is a back end. Like I said, he's like right there, the back end of QB1 territory. Technically, I'm ranked at 13 right now, and I have Caleb one spot ahead. But that's kind of where we are. As far as the backfield is concerned, it's going to be Najee Harris and maybe only Najee Harris yet again, but that really doesn't matter to me. You need heavy volume here. He's an RB2, but you need heavy volume. And let's hope George Pickens gets going. As I mentioned, Freiermuth isn't bad. He's top 15 for me. Aiden O'Connell will get the start. Don't like this for Jacoby Myers, who should see his fair share of Joey Porter Jr. The only option I really like here is Brock Bowers for the Raiders. Zamir White's still banged up. Can't trust Alexander Mattison. So yeah, Bowers is awesome. Like, I love Brock Bowers. He's top 5 for me, even on this crappy team. But yeah. That's it. Detroit and Dallas, give me some of this game as well. We have some stinkers on this slate, but man, there are a couple games that are pretty awesome. This is a 52.5 over under. Detroit 3-point road favorites. Let's go. Jared Goff coming off of a perfect game. That was pretty good. Can we use him here against a tough Dallas defense that kind of has underperformed? I would rather not. I have him at 17. So yeah, super flex wise, but that's it. It's not the most optimal matchup. Now, I will say Amon-Ra, he's not going to see Trayvon Diggs. He's in the slot too much, so he's fine. I think people are selling Sam Laporta short here. He has not performed up to elite expectations, but he's still been fine. So whatever, he's still a top five option. And we're using Monty and Gibbs like we usually would. Though neither one is in my top 12 right now. I have Gibbs technically at 13, Monty at 15, but they're both still very usable. Dak coming off of another 300-yard performance. He had a fourth quarter comeback. He is second in the league in passing yards. So even though it wasn't a perfect game last week, he's still very much a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb. If people are, whatever. He's averaging 15.1 yards per catch. That's the highest of his career. I had mentioned earlier, if you were kind of trying to push in on Jalen Tolbert, I've seen a lot of people trying to talk themselves into that. I'm not with you. I mean, I do think there was appeal to pick him up, but he was not the priority pickups this week. In the waiver tool over at ftnfantasy.com, ahead of him, I actually had a couple wide receivers. I had Darnell Mooney if he was available. I had Juju. I had Josh Downs. And I even had Jacoby Myers ahead of him, because at least Jacoby Myers is the clear number one without Devontae Adams. So just be careful with Jalen Tolbert. Don't get too far out over your skis. Remember the cautionary tale of Dontavian Wicks. So Tolbert this week, probably not usable. Well, I mean, he's at 50 right now. He could slide up a little bit, but be careful. Ferguson is fine. Rico Dowdle is the lead for now, coming off of a big game last week. From a volume standpoint, did get in the end zone. However, at the same time, I'm only in like fringe RB2 territory with him. Atlanta, Carolina, as I said, I love these matchups. Even if Carolina isn't that good, I think they play up to Atlanta in this one. It's a 6.5-point road favorite here for the Atlanta Falcons. 46.5 over-under, not too shabby there. How does Kirk Cousins follow up last week? If he comes back to the pack, we'll get our answer. He'll be streaky this season. If he has another one, and I don't need 500 yards. Let's say Cousins has like 315, 320, something like that, and two touchdowns. I'm in on Kirk Cousins then as a back end quarterback one. Like that, even in this matchup that in theory is a little bit easier, I still am in, because even if it's an easier matchup, you still have to do it. Drake London coming off of a massive game, and I don't have any indication that he's banged up, even though he kind of was at the end of the game. Seems like he'll be fine. He's top 10. Darnell Mooney, not top 10. not going to go that far with Darnell Mooney after last week, though. Super, super, super encouraging. He's a back-end wide receiver, too. You know, there will be blow-up games. Most games, he'll probably be more of a wide receiver 3 option, but that encapsulates that, yeah, he has a high ceiling. And I'm liking what Kyle Pitts did. I'm loving Bijan Robinson. I thought he looked excellent last week, and it's one of those where the fantasy points didn't match the performance, and I'm okay with that. Still staying the course. Andy Dalton, let's bounce back. Yeah, I have Deontay Johnson on a few too many teams. Let's bounce back, brother. Andy Dalton, back end super flex option. As far as Deontay Johnson is concerned, obviously came back to the pack last week, but I'm still okay with staying the course here with him as a fringe wide receiver one. He's at 14. So when I say fringe, it's usually a guy who's like 13 or 14, like right on the edge, very close, but not quite on the inside. But I'm not going to call him a wide receiver two. You know, he's right on the edge because these guys are so closely packed together. Chuba Hubbard has been awesome the last 3 weeks. Top 10 fantasy running back each of those games. He's at 11 for me right now. And it does beg the question of Jonathan Brooks. No word about Jonathan Brooks. And a lot of times no news is good news. And this is one of the rare instances where no news is decidedly bad news. If Chuba is playing well, they have no reason to rush Jonathan Brooks back. Chuba as well. I mean, one of the things that I always like to say is, you know, follow the money. It's not a phrase, obviously, I invented, but it is a phrase that makes a lot of sense with these contracts. Chuba Hubbard is in the final year of his rookie deal. He very well could hit free agency after this. Why not just get the most out of him that you can and wait on Jonathan Brooks, almost giving him essentially a redshirt season? So the point being, is it okay to drop him? Well, I'm never going to tell you yes or no, but I can't blame you. If you have somebody better to pick up, you might be wasting a roster spot right now, unfortunately, on Jonathan Brooks. But then again, a couple weeks could go by and Jonathan Brooks could be back and he could be the lead. You never quite know what's going to happen. So, you know, obviously you always have to assume that risk when you make any of these moves. Cincinnati and the Giants. Oh, boy. Cincinnati. Oh, boy. Well, they are 3.5-point road favorites. They seem to be better on the road this year than at home, but this is a 47.5 over under. I love Joe Burrow. 5 passing touchdowns last week, 12 over the last 4 games. He had 0, obviously, in week 1. He is leading the league in that category. He has been awesome. Jamar Chase has a fantastic matchup, second most receiving yards in the league entering the week. Only Nico has more, so... yeah, that's pretty good. T. Higgins coming off of a big game. I mean, these guys are steamrolling. Now, the question is, does Zach Moss play? As of right now, DNP yesterday, but first practice of the week really doesn't mean anything. We need 3 practices. If he goes DNP again today, and you're listening to this and you already know that, okay, well, what does he do on Friday? If he goes DNP on Friday, 3 straight, even if he's listed as questionable, very unlikely he plays. And then Chase Brown would be an RB2 in a very good spot. If Moss plays, then he's the lead, and Chase Brown's probably more of a flex, and Moss is probably more of a back-end RB2. Daniel Jones actually playing really good football. This is like flying under the radar. But the big question, will he have Malik Nabers back? I don't have an official practice report, but the beat writers seem to think he is still in the same step of the concussion protocol that he was in yesterday. It is either step 2 or 3. I don't have clarification, but the most important part is it's not step 4. He really needs to be in step 4 today to have a good chance of playing. That's not to say that he can't get limited practice in tomorrow if this does in fact go down as a DNP. If he could get limited, he could still play, but it's dicey. If he does get limited today, Thursday, then that is a great sign. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. Devin Singletary as well did not practice yesterday. Don't have any news on him yet. If he does not go again, obviously Tyrone Tracy is very interesting as a potential fringe RB2 option in a nice spot. If not, that's where Singletary would be. All right, let's round it out with Buffalo and the Jets, another division rivalry game, a very important game really for both of these teams. Can the Bills sort of right the ship after a couple bad games? Can the Jets get that post-firing bump that we sometimes see? The Bills are 2.5-point road favorites, 40 over under in this one. Josh Allen, you're starting, but again, I'm going to keep saying it, like maybe reconsider your draft strategy at quarterback. And Allen is a prime example why. I know the Lamar people are going to think that I'm crazy, but you guys hit. The Allen people didn't. The Mahomes people didn't. And it's debatable as to whether or not, oh, well, at least the Allen people didn't over the last 2 weeks. I still think he's fine. And it's debatable on Jalen Hurts as well. It's a volatile strategy. But Allen is still startable. James Cook popped up on the injury report with a toe issue. If he doesn't go, it's going to be a combination of Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. Honestly, I hate to say it, but I think Ty Johnson's the slightly better option after last week where Ray Davis was barely used. But I don't like either of them in that instance in this matchup. We'll see if Khalil Shakir can get back, but who knows? It's not a good spot here for the Bills in general from an injury standpoint, but we'll see what the practice reports say. Robert Saleh was fired. Yes, we talked about that already. 20-36 record as a head coach. That is the third worst record in the NFL since he took over in 2021. Not good. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, is on board with the play caller change because, yes, Nathaniel Hackett was relieved of his duties, and it goes to Todd Downing. Now, last time we saw Todd Downing as a play caller, he was with the Tennessee Titans, and his offenses weren't particularly good. Yes, they had Derrick Henry, but they were very one-dimensional. And that has been the problem under Nathaniel Hackett. Not creative, one-dimensional, very boring. So we'll see if Downing can change that. I hope so. Aaron Rodgers did target Garrett Wilson 22 times the last time we saw them. So that was good, but they barely used Breece Hall. I still think this is a buy-low window for Breece Hall. I do not think he forgot how to play football. I do think he bounces back, especially against a Bills run defense that isn't particularly good. I'm still using Breece as a top 10. I'm still using Garrett Wilson as a front end wide receiver too. And that's kind of all I'm doing here. All right, that's going to do it for today. So like I said, tomorrow I have that golf outing, but as soon as I'm done, I will update everything rankings and projections wise over at ftnfantasy.com. You could still subscribe, by the way. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off of any of our subscriptions. Get in now. I mean, I know you've been waiting, so just get in now, okay? To anybody who's been waiting. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. I'll be back on Monday to unpack this all. So no podcast tomorrow, okay? I'll be back on Monday to unpack everything that we saw. In the meantime, enjoy it. And don't forget that other pregame show, Sunday morning, CBS Sports Network on your TV. It's the best pregame show out there. I'm on it, along with many others, but turn it on, 8 to noon Eastern. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.